everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, every weekend. Chris, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're really glad you joined us.
Well, Dr. Linda, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you ever just wake up in a bad mood and feel like you can't shake it?
Yes.
It's like you're miserable to be around, and you can't really put your finger on anything specific. It's like you're just in a funk. When that happens to me, it can actually ruin my day. And I know I'm not alone. So our show this weekend is about getting out of that funk and changing a bad day into a better day.
All of us have a bad day now and then, right?
Yeah.
I don't wake up feeling in a bad mood, but I can get in a bad mood as the day goes on. So maybe I need this help as much as anybody else. Listen, Chris, I found this great little article on Flipboard by someone named Susie Moore. And the name of the article was 10 Ways to Get Out of a Funk and Fast. So I like that.
Right.
So I thought we could look at her suggestions and then we can add a few of our own suggestions as we go. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to help you as you're listening. And we're going to use this advice in our own lives to take a bad day and turn it into a good one.
Well, here's the first question to ask in order to start turning your day from bad to good. What's the best thing that has happened to you so far today? And what did you most appreciate?
Now, the answer to this, according to Susie, could be something small. You can think about some small thing or even something big that might have happened. So for me, a small thing is that I really appreciate my Keurig in the morning.
Oh, exactly.
That's why I wake up in a good mood. First thing I do is I punch that coffee.
Yeah.
I remember, this is a really terrible thing to say, but I remember when Hurricane Isabel hit. We were living in Virginia Beach, and we were on the water, and I went to hit my coffee pot, and the power went out.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, no.
Right.
You know, it's a hurricane, and I'm worried about the coffee. So I'm very thankful for my cup of coffee in the morning. I'm also really thankful for the way my dog greets me. So enthusiastically, every time I wake up or I come home, it's as if I have been, like, gone forever, and
right.
I'm the only person on the planet when I come home.
Zoe.
Zoe,
right.
Zoe. So how about you, Chris? Is there a small thing that you can think of?
This one happened just this week. I've had a cold. I'm at work all day doing my thing. It's just uncomfortable. And there comes that part in the day where you can say, oh, when I can just get home and sit down in my own house, in my chair. Yeah, that's the small thing, knowing that that comfort awaits me.
So I think we tend to underestimate being appreciative of those small things, like the fact that you have a house to come home to and
right.
you can get into your chair and relax. How often do we actually verbalize those small things that we appreciate to other people? How often do we say that to each other? Or do we do that intentionally? Do we say, hey, I'm intentionally going to think of something that I'm really grateful for this day? So I think it's really easier to take things and people for granted. However, when you do get intentional about these small things that you appreciate in your life, it really does begin to shift your mood. It takes it from maybe a negative place and begins to shift it into something a little bit more positive. So in addition to the small things, there are big things that we can all think about that we appreciate. So I do appreciate my home. And especially, there have been a lot of natural disasters in our country and
right.
in the world. And you don't even take a home for granted, given the wildfires we've seen
right.
and the hurricanes that we've seen. I appreciate my husband. I appreciate my kids, my family. I even appreciate my job, believe it or not.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't say that, but
it's
I do. And I think you would agree. I appreciate our church.
Right. Yeah, we have a fantastic church. And it's nice to know that when Sunday rolls around, we have a nice family to go worship with.
Yeah.
I'm sort of with you on the home thing. I mentioned that once with my chair. But when it comes to big things, I've got three kids.
Yes.
So when you come home, generally, unless they're busy, you know, they come running up and say, hey, you're, especially the little one.
I know. That's such a great feeling,
comes,
isn't
right?
it? Especially when they're so little like that and they just put their arms out and they just, you're just the best thing they know.
It's funny, too, if they have something in their hand and when they see you, they throw it and then they take off running
they
towards
take
you.
Take off.
Right?
Yeah, that's so great.
We take a lot for granted living in, you know, as Americans. Here's a more specific question the author of that article told us to think about. Which household items do you most appreciate and why?
So this was a new one for me. I don't know that I've thought about my household items. So I have this awesome vacuum cleaner.
Oh, wow.
Now, this sounds like really crazy, but I bought this years ago. We paid an arm and a leg for this thing years ago. And I think we bought it when my kids were born, so my kids are now millennials. They're in their 20s. But I paid a lot for that thing. But that thing works better than any vacuum cleaner. And I was so frustrated with the newer one that we bought the other day. Mm-hmm. I found it downstairs someplace, and I brought it back up, and I thought, the suction in this thing is so good.
Wow.
And I found myself getting excited about a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Is that a little weird?
No. The creature comforts mean a lot to us.
They do. They do.
You've been to my house before.
Yes.
And you've been in our basement.
Yes.
I have this ratty old refrigerator that I like to keep soft drinks in. A lot of soft drinks. You saw that too.
You can actually look at that on Instagram because we have Chris and his Mountain Dews in his refrigerator.
Great. But one thing about that old nasty refrigerator is it keeps everything so cold.
Yeah.
You could blindfold me and give me a soft drink, and I could say, it's been in the refrigerator in the basement. I love it.
Well, I have one more I'm going back to my coffee drinking. I sound like an addict when I talk about this. But I have this machine called a frother.
Oh, we've been through this frother thing before.
Did I ever make you a latte with that frother?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, Mike, you have to try it. You will never go to those coffee shops again.
Yeah.
It is like the best thing since sliced bread. It is so good.
Didn't you suggest this back in, it was supposed to be a great Father's Day gift or something?
Yeah, I think it was the frother. Get that. But it's one of the best inventions of our time, and I actually smile every time I use it. Now, my husband would probably say a household item. He would probably say his cast iron skillet. Mm. He is quite the gourmet cook.
Right.
And he makes food to rival Bon Appetit.
Ooh.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
They're certainly, we don't have to have these things, but they do make us smile and make us a little happy.
Definitely. Well, here's a harder question. What do you most appreciate about your body and why? I'm going to guess that from the shows we've done in the past, a lot of people aren't too happy about their bodies. And in fact, you wrote a book entitled Making Peace with Your Thighs. It addresses body image.
Yeah, it's hard for most people to feel good about their bodies, partly because we're bombarded by media images of people with perfect bodies, and very few of us look like supermodels.
Mm-hmm.
We could put a picture on Instagram to prove that.
Yeah, we've got proof.
So when we compare ourselves to those perfect and those altered pictures, because a lot of them are computer altered, and you know they have hairdressers and makeup artists and everything. We do look at that stuff, though, and we do start to feel bad about ourselves. And especially if you have a teenager, a teenage girl, and she's looking at all those images, this is one of the ways that her days can go bad.
Right.
So looking at the mirror at the beginning of the day can either put you in a really bad mood if you don't have a healthy view of yourself, or you can kind of talk to yourself in the mirror and say, this is what normal people look like.
So one of the things you can do is to simply just not look at the mirror.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I would have a difficult time if I didn't do that.
Right. We can focus on our body, and you've talked about dissatisfaction being a sign of eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And that's a rising problem in our culture.
Yeah, so avoiding a healthy look at your body isn't really the answer. We really can't just not look. But an overfocus on the body can develop into an eating disorder or body dissatisfaction disorder like you're talking about. Mm. And you can underfocus on your body, which a lot of Americans do, and they gain weight, they ignore their health, and then they put themselves at risk with obesity. So a healthy appreciation of our body is needed, and we need to appreciate the fact that we live in a country where we can do a good diet, we can take care of ourselves if we make some effort.
Well, it's good advice so far, and we hope you're beginning to think of a few changes you might be able to make right away. Make today a really great day by shifting your focus in the ways we've been discussing. Stay with us. There's much more to come right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we are happy that you are a part of our listening audience today. Just to remember to follow Dr. Linda on social media. Go to her website, drlindamental.com, and you can see all the ways to follow her. In addition, she has written some helpful books. One we mentioned today, Making Peace with Your Thighs, a book on body image and acceptance, one of the areas that will help change your bad day into a good one. And Dr. Linda, here's a question that I like. I can easily see how this focus could turn a bad day into a good one. What are some things that recently went right or better than expected?
You know, asking yourself that question every day would put the focus on the positive things right away, wouldn't it, rather than the problems.
Right.
So that is a mood lifter. So when you focus on what went right, not what went wrong, and why do we do that? Why do we focus on what goes wrong instead of right? But if we did the opposite like that, we would feel so much better during our day.
Well, this is what we do with our kids. You know, we try to focus on what they do right and give attention to the positive in order to improve their behavior.
Yeah, that's that whole notion of catch them being good, right? Mm. So we positively reinforce the good things we see our kids do and say. So as adults, we need to catch ourselves being good on a regular basis. And I'm really trying to do this more as a part of my personal life coaching because I'm trained as a therapist to always find a problem. So I tend to find problems during the day and I tend to identify them. So the focus needs to be an assessment of what went right. So here's an example. I had to fly to Maine for a family emergency and the flights were available. It went really smoothly. Mm-hmm. I actually made my connections. There were no delays. There were no cancellations, even though I thought I was going for my dad's illness. So it was a really awful day that I had to get on a plane suddenly and go. But God orchestrated the trip. So I was really thankful on that trip, even though I was going for kind of a scary reason. I thought, okay, God, I got a flight at the last minute. The flights went fine. The weather was good. There were no delays. And I kept focusing my mind on the way there, on the ways that God was taking care of me.
Should we focus on what we do right when it comes to marriage? It seems it would help not only our day go better, but our marriages too, if we focus on what we do right.
So it certainly would bring the focus of a relationship on the positive things, and it would be important to verbalize those to each other. So we don't do that often, do we?
There's something uncomfortable about that.
Really?
I don't know why.
So we're sort of geared to always saying, here's what you didn't do for me, or here's what you didn't do right. So couples don't do this as often as they should. And in fact, in troubled marriages, Chris, there's very little positive to the negatives in a relationship. They have this actually down to the numbers. So in troubled marriages, there's only like less than one positive for every negative. In marriages that are doing okay, there's like five positives to every negative.
Wow.
And in marriages that are doing great, they have found that people do 20 positives for every negative that goes on. So obviously the focus on the positive not only lifts your personal mood, but it also helps the relationship.
Let's take this to work as well. Mm. I think paying attention to what goes right at work certainly would help me a lot because I do tend to focus on some of the negatives.
Yeah, I agree. It keeps you staying positive at work. Things like having a tough conversation, but actually doing it and feeling better afterwards. Or maybe you did have a good report, you gave it, it actually went well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you finished a project, maybe you made your deadline, maybe you helped the bottom line or showed kindness to a coworker. If you continue to put your mind on those things, your mood is going to lift during the day.
Or do what I do and just say, you know what, I didn't get fired. I still have a job. You know?
Well, there's a big appreciation, right?
That's right.
That's a good one.
Let me ask you this question, and maybe this would be a good question that we could ask ourselves. I'm grateful that I am healthy enough to blank.
Yeah, I would say for me, travel. I love to travel, and you need to be able to walk and get around when you do travel. So I'm grateful that I can work out, even if I don't do it as often as I would like to. Right. But I'm so glad that I have the mobility to do something that I love to do. And, you know, that's something we need to be grateful for.
I don't mean to be a broken record here, but that's exactly the answer I would give.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I'm grateful that I can get up and work and do things and not just be stuck.
That is really hard. I know that's been an issue for my dad. He's in a wheelchair, and it really bothers him that he can't be more mobile. And you see that with elderly people. It makes me very conscious of being thankful for the time that I can be. You know, there's some evidence that if you begin your day with writing down three things that you're grateful for, that your day will be so much better. Did you know that?
Mm,
just
yeah.
writing. Yeah. Just writing something down.
Is this where journaling comes into effect?
A lot of people think, oh, I don't want to journal because I have to write like paragraphs of stuff about my life and all that. Mm-hmm. They just said bullet point it. Just do three things every morning and see what your day starts off to be. Years ago, when I was doing a radio show, we did a gratitude challenge. And we had everybody start their day with three things they were grateful for. And then at the end of a month, how people felt. And people felt much better.
Here's another good sentence to finish. Though I may not be rich, I'm thankful I have enough money to blank.
I would say that I'm thankful that I have enough money to help other people and give to a need. It just makes me feel good when a missionary comes through or somebody comes through and I have enough money to put something in the offering extra. I have to say it's a selfish thing, but I'm glad I have enough money to travel.
Right.
We're back to the travel again. You know, not everybody lives a comfortable life, and I really feel blessed that we do. What about you? Is there something about money that you would like to use it for?
Broken record again here. When an opportunity arises, and it may not necessarily be that you have to throw thousands of dollars at something, but when those opportunities in life arise to where, you know, so-and-so could use a couple hundred dollars, or you see a need and you're in the position to take care of it, and God clearly says, Chris, that's for you to deal with. Being able to have the finances to do that type of thing, that's a blessing.
And sometimes we step out in faith when we feel that we're led to do something like that. So sometimes just being able to have the faith to say to God, okay, I feel like you're prompting me to give this money and do it. The faith is something to be appreciative for. Now your turn to finish the next sentence. I appreciate that every day I get to
work.
All right.
Especially in an economy like this, you know, there's so many people that they have to wake up and go find a job, or they have to wake up and not have a job. And God has always blessed me with a place to work. And being that it's radio, like you said earlier in the show, I'm one of those few people who enjoys what he does for a living.
Not a lot of people can say that. For me, waking up to my spouse, going to a job I love too, makes a difference. And I'm trying to make a difference in a few people's lives and even working on this show each week. This is a privilege for us to do this. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to be talking to the people who are listening right now.
That is very true. Now, here's another one from the article you read. Finish this sentence. The best things in life are free, including
the unconditional love of God. I would say that, and his grace. Those make my heart soar. Happy memories, also like the days my kids were born. I think the day I was married, and of course, that was far from being free, the day I was married. but things like walking in one of those beautiful nature trails here in our town and enjoying the beauty of God's creation. We have the privilege to see the incredible Blue Ridge Mountains from our windows. The drive home, I turn this corner, and there are, it's breathtaking. So I'm very grateful for those kinds of beautiful things that God has put on our earth and created. I'm also thankful for humor.
Oh, no kidding.
And being able to laugh.
We couldn't make it without.
I know. You do a lot of that in our choir, just FYI.
Well, that's become
that's
my
your
shtick.
Role. That's your role.
I got an email from our choir director who said something about that this week. I told her I would be missing a few practices and that I was a horrible choir member. She said, you may not be the worst choir member, but you are one of the funniest.
There you go.
I do like that role.
You do.
Okay, well, one more before we go to the break, Dr. Linda. I don't know that I've ever thought about this one before, actually. I appreciate that I had the courage to blank.
Ooh, that was on her list, wasn't it? I would say trust the Lord and make changes when I felt that God was calling me to do that. Hmm. So I'm talking about changes like where I followed the Lord in moving or doing a new job, start my own business, do public speaking. That takes courage when you first start something. Even writing a book, I had no idea how to write a book, but I jumped in it and I did it. I felt like I was given the opportunity. I might as well try it. But all of that was because I put my trust in God to help me do what he had called me to do. So what have you had the courage to do?
There have just been times in life where we've, it's not necessarily that negative, but you've had to stand up for yourself and say, no, this is how things are. And there have been times where I've had the courage to say what needed to be said, and it turned out better that way.
And you feel good when you do that.
Right. Yes. Okay, well, Dr. Linda, I am already so encouraged, but there's still more to come. Turn your bad day into a good one. Stay with us here as we keep this conversation going on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and you can listen to the show anytime on the MyFaithRadio.com page and podcast, and you can send it to your friends as well. Stay connected with Dr. Linda on social media so you can keep up with all the encouraging blogs and books Dr. Linda writes. And we hope you are encouraged by today's show. If you're having a bad day by now, Dr. Linda, I would think we should be having a good day.
Yeah, we can turn that around. Listen, I want to say something about listening to the podcast.
Okay.
Because I had somebody tell me that they took the show that we did on Hopeless Marriage,
mm-hmm.
or Impossible Marriage, I think was the title of that show.
Right.
And she sent it to a whole bunch of her friends, and they were very encouraged by that.
Oh, good.
So this might be one of those podcasts where you're listening to this and going, wow, I know a lot of people that are having a crummy day,
mm-hmm.
or a lousy day. So changing a bad day to a good one has to do with learning also how to be content no matter what is happening in our lives. So here's a part of this changing our mind. So we're changing the way we think in order to change a bad day into a good one.
Mm.
So contentment is part of that. If you appreciate what you have, and we've been talking a lot about what we appreciate, right? And you notice the blessings around you, and you focus on the goodness of God in your life, that is going to change your mood for the day. This is why there's a scripture that tells us to get up in the morning and focus on the things of God. Because once we get our mind on that, we begin to have that kind of a contentment. The Apostle Paul teaches us to be content at all time, no matter what. And he's very challenging because he's saying that when he was in prison.
Right.
So you don't need a big paycheck for things to go right that day, or even for someone to do the right things to you all the time in order to feel good. A lot of people feel that way. They feel like, well, if everybody treats me the right way, then I'm going to have a good day. But we have control over how we react to things. So we need to appreciate things that happen. We need to show gratitude, especially during the time that we're unlikely to focus on those. That really would help us turn things around.
You know, the Bible encourages us to wake up every morning and remember that God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
That was the scripture I was trying to think of when I said that a few minutes ago. You know, so often in the Bible, God speaks to renewing our mind. And that is really what we're talking about today because, you know, just what I said, we can't control all of our life circumstances. We know difficulty will come into our lives, but we can control how we respond to this difficulty. And our response has to do with the perspective or the mindset that we have and we bring to the day. So we can be the victim, we can blame others when problems come, or we can look at our circumstances as a way to grow and to learn, to trust God, and even look for the hand of God in the difficulty. I think that is really key to feeling content.
So spiritually, keeping our eyes on God, not our circumstances, just like Peter did when he was walking on the water toward Jesus, the second he took his eyes off the Lord, he started to sink.
And that could be a lesson for all of us when our day seems to be going bad. If we keep our eyes just focused on the Lord, he will keep us from sinking into despair. And when we put our confidence in God, not ourselves, God helps us through a bad day. I have started to try to be very intentional when I'm starting to see my mood go down, mm-hmm. to just stop and take 30 seconds and just pray and go, okay, God, help me to refocus here. Help me to look forward and help me to think of the things that are going right.
In your book, Letting Go of Worry, you say that contentment is something that must be cultivated. It's not something that automatically comes to us.
Well, at least it doesn't come to me automatically.
No.
So
me neither.
I have to be intentional because contentment begins in the mind. It's a believing that God causes things to work for our good, even the bad things that happen in a day. And I know that's a hard thing to think about. You know, when I'm in the middle of a bad day, I'm not sitting there going, oh, this is going to help me.
Hmm.
But if I could think that way, like the Apostle Paul said, he challenges us not to lose perspective when times are tough. He had a number of bad days in prison, but he remained hopeful for a better day when he would be present with the Lord. He rejoiced in all of his circumstances. So to be content means trusting God completely.
In order to do that, the Bible tells us to think on good things, just like we have been talking about. Things that are noble, true, pure, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy.
That's a good list. So when we do focus our attention on our blessings, this keeps us from being shaken by the bad things that happen in our day. I think that's why the Bible is so intentional about that. You know, it says, think on these things. It doesn't say, well, when you have a chance. It's very directive.
Right.
You know, think on these things. When we keep our minds on Christ, he will keep us in perfect peace. So in the middle of the bad day, if you keep your mind focused on Christ and you think about him, you still can have peace in that bad day. Listen, we have to learn to live with life's uncertainties. God knows what our day is going to bring. Every day is in his awareness. It's important to remember God is with you through whatever difficulty you're facing. God is working behind the scenes on your behalf. Remember that. He's working for your good. A bad day is a learning opportunity. It's a chance to see his mighty power at work. Jesus turned the worst day of his life into the best day ever for all of us. His sacrifice on the cross gave us eternal life and peace with him. We can all wake up in the morning and feel eternally grateful for his sacrifice for us. So turn that bad day into a better day by reminding yourself that God is for you, a help in trouble, and will work all things for your good. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
You win.
Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.